Greetings in the name of the one who enters our mess and calls us onward. So I recently had a conversation with someone, and during a particularly emotionally charged moment, the person expressed deep anger at himself and toward the world around him. "I am just bad," he said. I told him, "You are not a bad person. You are a good person who right now is acting in a bad way." When I had time to reflect on what I had said in that difficult interaction, I felt very uncertain. Perhaps saying that he was a good person did not recognize what he was trying to express, which was all the darkness, all the pain and anger and hurt and confusion and wanting to hurt others that he carried in his body. I did not recognize the fullness of what he felt. I did not give him the words to expel and express what was inside of him. We are a mess of good and bad, however those dualities are enfleshed. Some days later, I thought of the Cherokee or Lenape or Nanticoke tale of the two wolves. Perhaps some of you have heard it. One version I read goes like this. One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. And the other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one that you feed." We are a mess of good and bad, but that really doesn't need to mean we throw our hands up to the mess of it. We do not need to be crushed under the weight of moral relativism or lose ourselves to the mess within us or be eaten alive by the two wolves in us battling for food. There are still moral codes to follow, the good wolf to feed, however imperfectly we live them or however often we feed it. We are messy. Perhaps the more often we honestly encounter ourselves and the systems around us, we are clear of this. Life is messy. Systems are messy. We are messy. Today's gospel reading is confusing. What in the world is Jesus talking about? This is what the gospel says. "For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes." What is happening? Is he promoting dishonest wealth and dishonest friends? Then why does the passage end with such a clear moral or clear statement? You cannot serve God and wealth. Perhaps any of us who has committed to any institution or religion or any group of people, or who tries to live in any moral way in the global an interconnected world of which we are a part, are aware of the mess and imperfection of it. Do we recycle plastic or don't we? And which ones? Which elected official will most support what we value for ourselves and society, for the most part? Why should I stay in the church when I carry so much baggage with it? And is religion good for society at all? It can be easy to judge from the sidelines those on the inside, when difficult decisions need to be made, when there is no purely good way to live them, when we are given two imperfect, partly whole choices to choose between. Perhaps this is what Jesus is trying to convey with the story of the manager and the difficult and imperfect choices that he makes. And perhaps the clarity and strength of the last sentence of the passage still means that we can't just throw our hands up at the mess of it. There are still guides to follow. There is still beauty and truth that lures us. And we must name these things and see the beauty for what it is. If caregiving has taught me anything over these past months, it is the experience of being entangled in messy choices, my own included. And I have been reminded of the powerful truth that is trying to express itself in the Christian story, of the sacred that became enfleshed, a God that enters the mess of it, and that is with us in it. The prophet Jeremiah's words perhaps give us space to grieve the imperfections, the holy, moral, or sacred, or salvific life we reach and aim for, but which we cannot often attain, if at all. The good wolf that is at times starving as we give it what food we can at any given moment. The prophet or author shares, "For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored?" The balm in Gilead that Jeremiah mentions is a healing salve made from the shrub or tree of that area. And perhaps there is healing that comes from grieving the mess of what we are, of honestly naming what we feel or how we've been hurt or the mistakes we've made, to grieve the mess of what we are. And perhaps there is healing in also naming what, when we can find hope, we aim to become. And of trusting that there is a God with us in the mess of it, luring us onward, helping us to feed the good wolf. There is a balm in Gilead is an African-American spiritual, and its words hold brokenness and healing together. They speak from a tradition that knows personal sin tied to the deep systemic sin of slavery. Heartache and healing all mixed up together. God is in the mess and calls us onward. And I'll end with the song in the best way I can. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Amen. You're welcome to rise for our hymn of the day.